As I was considering the message this morning and this opportunity to bring my word to you this morning, this account in the history of Israel came to my heart and to my mind. And I would like to speak to you this morning upon the message, God Delivers Again. And in this message this morning, I would like to consider Israel at the Red Sea. Now, I'm sure each and every one of us know this account in the history and life of Israel very well, for it is told to children in the children's meetings, and I'm sure it is shared by parents to their children in their homes as well. And we have preachers preaching and expounding upon the history of Israel and how the Lord had led his people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, to the promised land. But in chapter 14 this morning, we have jumped into this narrative when the people of Israel had departed from Egypt and were now headed towards the promised land. In the opening verses of this chapter, we discover that Pharaoh and the Egyptians were not happy that their former slaves were now away from them and that they had gone to worship the Lord. So Pharaoh now gives the command to pursue after them. Notice there in verses 7 to 9, he says it there, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains and every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. They eventually came close enough within the camp of Israel, and they stopped the camp by the sea. Now Israel, when they came upon the Red Sea, and then when they turned back and looked and seen that the Egyptians were pursuing after them, they began to be afraid. And they began to be fearful and to question, how were they going to escape now? And we see the people's reaction and what they said in verse 10. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Moses then spoke to the people, and it is what Moses spoke to the people that I want to consider this morning for the remainder of the meeting. And I want to bring to your attention, first of all this morning, the encouragement to Israel at the Red Sea. We see this here in verse 13, because it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So here we see clearly encouragement to Israel at the Red Sea. Now when the children of Israel had gotten their eyes upon the Egyptians who were pursuing after them, as I said, they began to be afraid. They began to become overcome with fear. And they cried out unto the Lord. And they even began to question the Lord and his servant Moses. And we see that there because they said how they would have been better off back in Egypt, serving the Egyptians. And that was a real insult to Moses and to the Lord. Because it was the children of Israel who cried out unto the Lord just a few chapters previous, that the Lord would deliver them out of the slavery which they were in under the hand of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh and the Egyptians despised them. We know that in the time of Joseph, how the Egyptians loved the Israelites, how they loved Joseph because Joseph was the means of saving not only the Egyptians, but the Israelite people as well. And how that the family of Joseph, the family of Israel as it were, had grew into such a multitude that began to cause the Egyptians to be fearful of the Israelites. And then for the Pharaoh, he decided to try and control the people by bringing them into slavery. And now that the multitude of the Israelite people had grown so much, that Pharaoh wanted to keep them in bondage and to keep them under slavery. And yet the people of God seemed to have such a short memory here that they would even desire to go back into slavery in Egypt because they were facing what it seemed to them at the Red Sea, an impossible situation to escape. Perhaps that's what you think today, my friend, as we face this pandemic of COVID-19 and how we have sought to deal with it and sought to live with it this past year, and how man has sought to come up with his own vaccine, Man has sought to come up with his own schemes to rid us, as it were, of this virus. But yet the virus is still present with us. And many perhaps today think that our backs are against the wall, that there is nowhere else to turn, that our hope is of salvation is in this vaccine. Perhaps when we think of the children of Israel, and as they stood at the midst of the Red Sea, and as they seen this water, that this mighty vast of water which was impassable, and as they seen the mighty army of Pharaoh coming, venturing ever closer to them, they began to be fearful and to question the Lord. They began to question Moses, his servant. They began to question the very wisdom of God. And that's why it's very dangerous. That's why it's very foolish if we become fearful and we let ourselves to be overcome and to be consumed with fear. But notice here, Moses says to the Israelites here, he says, first of all, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Take comfort today, dear child of God. Because as God's servant said these words to his people, so God would speak to us today and tell us, fear ye not. No matter what situation you're going through, my dear brother or sister in the Lord, whether it's that you're fearful of this virus, and I can understand your genuine fear, and your genuine anxiety over this virus, or perhaps it's some other situation that you're facing in your life at present, the Lord says, fear ye not. Fear ye not. We've seen how many in our land have become so consumed with fear over a little virus which they cannot see. But yet for the children of Israel, they could see a great ocean, a great vast of water which could not be passed, humanly speaking, themselves. And here was a mighty army, over 600 chariots coming, and all those thousands of foot soldiers coming towards them ever closer. But you know, the Bible contains for us so many fear nots. Because the Lord knows that each and every one of us, as Christians, as the people of God, at times we are given to fear. At times we are given to even doubt God. But yet the Lord has these fear nots in his word for a reason. To encourage us, to strengthen us. Because the Lord knows that we are weak at times. The Lord knows at times we are not what we ought to be as Christians. But take heart this morning, dear Christian. Because as the Lord, through his servant Moses, said to the people, fear ye not. So that is a word to your heart and to my heart this morning. Fear ye not. Moses' trust was in the Lord. And that was why Moses was not fearful. Because when our eyes are fixed upon the Lord, as Hebrews 12 and 2 tells us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then we will not become fearful. As the little children's chorus says, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing on. But not only does he tell them here to fear not, but he says also here to stand still. As I said, the people, they had nowhere to turn. They had nowhere to run. They had nowhere to escape to. For the Red Sea was before them. And beside them there was that place called Pihahiroth, which is a range of craggy rocks which were impassable. And on the other side there was the hand of Migdol and Baal-zephon. And some believe that was where the Egyptians were able to have forts and to have garrisons upon the frontiers of Egypt. And then, of course, behind them was the pursuing Egyptian army. So, from all angles, they had nowhere to turn. They couldn't go forward, they couldn't go back, they couldn't go left, they couldn't go right. But what they had to do was they had to look up. And in Christian, dear Christian, in these days, there's only one direction we can look, and that is up. We cannot look to our fellow man. We cannot look to those in authority over us. Yes, we pray for them, as the Scriptures command us to. But as the children of Israel could look and to turn nowhere else, so our gaze this morning ought to be upwards. Ought to be to the one who is upon his throne in heaven. The one who is sitting as sovereign and supreme. The one who none can stay his hand. The one in whom nobody can question. Nobody can hinder the Lord and his will. For he will achieve and he will accomplish his will by his own means. And through his own people and those who even are not his people. because the Lord is in control and the Lord is sovereign over all these things. Sometimes when we as Christians come to a problem or difficulty and we don't know what to do, we ought to wait upon God. Sometimes we think that we know best. Sometimes even in our we can get ourselves into a panic and we think just to make a rash decision. But yet it's in those moments, dear Christian, that we ought to stand still. We ought to seek the face of God. We ought to look up to where our help can come from. What does the psalmist says in Psalm 121? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help, our help, cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. At times we are prone to rush ahead. And that's why Moses said to the people, and God says to us this morning, not only fear ye not, but he says to stand still, to wait upon God, to let the Lord work in his time and according to his purposes. Because the Lord's timing is never late. And the Lord's timing and the Lord's purposes are never wrong. They are always good. Now, not only does Moses tell them to stand still, but also in verse 13 he says for them to see the salvation of the Lord. The people were to observe how the Lord was going to save them. In the eyes of the people, they perhaps thought, well, how are we going to escape? We can't swim. We can't go. We can't pass through the Red Sea. We can't fight off the Egyptian army. We can't climb upon this craggy outcropping where there's Egyptian garrisons. Neither can we turn to the other side as well. But yet it's in those moments where we think that it's impossible. When we don't know how we're going to escape, when we don't know how we're going to turn or to avoid what it is we have to face, then the Lord steps in. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And nothing is too hard for our God this morning, dear Christian. Oh yes, it may seem to us today, how are we going to get rid of this pandemic? How is this virus going to be taken away? It will be taken away in God's timing. It will be taken away when God sees fit for it to be taken away. And whether that is through the vaccine or not, I don't know. But God will get rid of it when he sees fit. And God will deliver us from this pandemic according to his timing and according to his purposes. And so it is true for us this morning, dear Christian, that we are not to fear, but we are to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord for many of us, I'm sure, in this meeting this morning. We can look back to a time when the Lord has saved us by his grace. And how that the Lord has kept us all these years, despite our falterings, despite our failures, despite our lack of faith, despite our faithlessness to the Lord. Yet the Lord has been faithful to us. He's never forsaken us. He's never left us. He's never abandoned us. And even though his people here had questioned why they were in the wilderness, that they would have been better to have went back to Egypt and to died and filled their graves in Egypt. And yet they had insulted the Lord and his servant Moses, yet the Lord had not abandoned his people. And even when we think of what Moses said here, Moses didn't react angrily to the people. Oh yes, he could have shouted at them. He could have, as it were, roared the head off them. But he didn't. He spoke calmly to them. And he didn't come down upon them like a ton of bricks, as we would say here. But he encourages them. In that moment when they were afraid, in that moment when they were doubting God, he says, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Notice the words of that in that verse. He says, which he will show to you today. This was a guarantee. God was going to show them today how that he was going to deliver them. And as Moses said there, ye shall see them again no more forever. What a promise he was making here. What a statement this is. When Moses was saying that the children of Israel were no longer going to see the Egyptians, no more forever. What a statement. And that's the last point under this first thought I want to bring to you. They had served the Egyptians for many years. The Egyptians had treated them harshly, treated them perhaps even worse than animals. And think of the resentment that the Israelites must have had in their hearts at their evil and wicked Egyptian taskmasters. And yet here Moses encourages them. You'll never see them again. And praise the Lord, someday the Lord will deal not only with our spiritual enemies, but the Lord will deal with our great adversary, the devil, when the Lord will cast him into the pit. Revelation 20. And it says there where the beast and the false prophet are, and it shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Praise the Lord, the Lord will deal once and for all with the devil, dear child of God. Perhaps he's given you a hard time at this present time. We'll turn you to Revelation 20 and 10 when you get home, and encourage your heart, because the Lord is in control. And the Lord, as he was going to deal with the Egyptians, so the Lord will deal with each and every one of our enemies, no matter who they are or where they're from. But as we consider, first of all, this morning, the encouragement to Israel at the Red Sea. Secondly, I want to bring to your attention the exhortation to Israel at the Red Sea. Now notice there in verse 15. We'll read verse 14 as well. It's a good verse. It says, Moses said, "And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." This is the exhortation to God's people at the Red Sea, that they go forward. Notice here this command. When we face difficulties in our lives, or trials, it's easy for any one of us to grow cold. It's easy, as the Israelites did, to question God. It's easy for us to doubt God when we're getting things tough. But yet, dear Christian, it's in those moments that we can grow cold, when we can doubt the goodness and the mercy of God. And it's in those moments where the devil would seek to attack us and even cause us to question God, as he sought to question Eve, or as Eve sought to question God in the garden. When the devil spoke to Eve, causing her to doubt what God had said in his word. That's what the devil will try to do. When you're facing a difficulty or a trial, perhaps, which nobody else knows about, that's when the devil will attack. He will attack your faith, and he will implant those doubts in your mind. If God really loved you, well, why are you going through this? If God is so good, as the Bible tells us, well, why is he allowing this to happen? Well, you're a good Christian. You go to church. You say your prayers. You read your Bible. That's what he will do, dear Christian. And then you will grow cold. And in those moments when you grow cold, you will start to read your Bible less. You will start to pray less. You will start to fellowship less with God's people. Be careful. Beware in those times, dear Christian. Do not let your heart grow cold. Do not let your heart grow far from God. How many of God's people have grown cold during this past year? How many Christians have even backslidden from the Lord this past year because of this virus? Oh yes, we can, as it were, tune in to the services from the comfort of our own home, but it's not the same. And yes, while we thank the Lord for the means of the internet, it's not the same as coming into the house of God and sitting under the preaching of thy word. Yes, I know, sitting under a better preacher than myself. But even to sit in the house of God and to sing the hymns, to pray, and to hear God's word being expounded, and to fellowship with God's people in a restricted form, I know. But it's still, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is for us to be here this morning, dear Christian. And yet, how many have grown cold because they have not been able to get out to the church or the house of God as often as they would like to have? How many have forgone their quiet time and their devotions with the Lord? Well, that's what the devil would want you to do, dear Christian, for your mind to be occupied with something else, which is ultimately less important than your time with the Lord and your devotions, whether that's in the morning or the evening time. But make sure you guard your time of prayer, that you guard your time of meditating and reading upon God's word, because that's how the Lord will continue to bless you. That is how the Lord will continue to mature you as a Christian and to develop you as a Christian. You know, these words, "go forward," is a word which we can apply to our hearts today. That God's people no matter how long or how short a time we've been on the Christian road, that we go forward. And even in this past year, it's very easy for any one of us to stop and even to go backwards. Because when our hearts grow cold, then we won't go forward, but we will go backwards. And dear child of God, that is not the will of God for your life. God's will for each and every one of us today as Christians is that we would go forward. As Moses said to the children of Israel, go forward. F.B. Meyer made this comment. He says, when God says forward, he will open the path and lead his people as a shepherd leads his flock by a way they know not. Isn't that very applicable to the children of Israel there? Because they did not know how they were going to be led forth. Yes, God had promised them that they were going to reach the promised land. But behind them stood the Egyptian army. Before them stood the Red Sea. And how were they going to get into the promised land? Well, as F.B. Meyer said in his comment, that God will make a way which they know not. Perhaps, dear child of God, this morning you're seeking God's will for your life. Perhaps the Lord has asked you to do something for him. And you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to come about. Well, take courage this morning. Be encouraged by God's word this morning. Because even though the children of Israel did not know how they were going to reach the promised land, yet the Lord had a way for them. The Lord was preparing a way for them to reach the promised land so that his promises would be fulfilled. And remember, dear Christian, the Lord will fulfill every promise he has made for us. Not that we deserve it, but because of who he is. And because the Lord will never lie. The Lord will never break his promise. Because he is the great covenant-keeping God that we serve. It tells us in Job 17 and verse 9, the righteous shall hold on his way. And as we journey along the narrow way today, dear believer, let us hold on to God's way and to go forward with him. Now we see here this, not only the exhortation, but we see here, the command, but we see here who was leading. Look at the verses there in verse 19. Look at those words there. It says, and the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Here in verse 19 we have what is known as a theophany. Or in layman's terms, it is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we were thinking upon his incarnation, how that the Son of God stepped from eternity into time and became that little babe in the manger, the God-man. That one being having those two natures, his divinity and his humanity in the one person. And how that the Lord Jesus Christ not only appeared on the scene of time back in as what is recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, but that the Lord had intervened, the Lord had stepped into human history in different stages throughout the Old Testament in the form of a theophany or a Christophany, which is simply that pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is where I want your gaze to be upon this morning. As our brother prayed in the prayer meeting a few moments ago, that we would see Christ. Well, here we see Christ in verse 19. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the angel of God, or he is the angel of the Lord, as he is also referred to in the Old Testament. And that ought to encourage our hearts this morning, because it is the same Christ we serve today. It is the same God which we serve today. And it is the same God, it is the same Christ that leads us. By his Spirit, of course, today. But here was the angel of God. Here was Christ, who went before the camp of Israel. And then he removed himself and went behind them to protect them from the Egyptians. To be that bridge stop, to be that gap between Israel and the Egyptians. But not only there was the angel of the Lord there, but it says, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And here we see how the Lord was leading his people. The Lord had led them out of Egypt And the Lord had led them right up to the very mouth of the Red Sea. And even though as they stood before the Red Sea and wondered how they were ever going to reach the promised land, they were being led by the will of God. They were being led by the Christ of God in the form of the angel of God. And dear Christian, that is how the Lord leads us today. The Lord will lead us through His Word, by His Holy Spirit. He will never lead us which is anything contrary to His Word, or outside of His Word, or by His Spirit. The Spirit of God will never lead us down a path which is contrary to His Word. But the Spirit will always lead us through His precious Word, which He has given to us. And as Moses was the leader of the children of Israel at that time, as the Lord was using Moses to lead His people out of Egypt, so the Lord spoke directly to Moses. And there, that was God's direct revelation. That was God speaking directly to His servant. That was God's word to the people. And so as we have God's word today, we don't have God speaking audibly to us today, but He speaks to us through His word. And that is how He leads us. That is how He guides us today as Christians. And as we consider this reference to the angel of God, this is actually the third reference in our Old Testament to the angel of God, to the angel of the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a reminder to each and every one of us how that the Lord, He leads us and guides us every step of the way. And even though as they journeyed, as it were, through difficulties, yes, they had left bondage, they had left many difficulties and distresses in the land of Egypt, but as they journeyed through the desert, coming towards the Red Sea, and how they questioned God and how they wondered how were they ever going to make it to the other side. But yet God had led them that way, and God had not left them to their own devices. And lastly, I want to consider with you this morning the escaping of Israel at the Red Sea. Now from verses 29 to 31, we read of how that the Egyptians had pursued after the Israelites. And the Lord had, in His mighty power, had sent that great wind to drive back the sea, to make a path through the sea for the children of Israel. And how that the Lord had caused His people to walk upon dry ground. But when we think of such a miracle, and when we think of how strong the wind must have been to drive back the sea, to make a bridge, to make a gap between this great sea, so that there was a wall on one side and a wall on the other side of water, but yet in the middle, the seabed was totally bone dry. What a miracle, and what an awesome sight that must have been for the children of Israel to witness. A few moments ago, they stood before a mighty sea. And yet, during that night, the Lord had sent the wind, and in the morning the sea was parted, and that they were able to walk across on this dry ground. What a miracle. And yet how the Lord had demonstrated His mighty power to them time and time again. And yet their faith was so faltering. How often has the Lord done many mighty things for us, dear Christian? And yet at times our faith is so faltering. At times our faith is so shallow, isn't it? Well, take encouragement this morning. Because here we see that the Israelites, their faith was so rocky. Their faith was so weak, as it were. But yet the Lord, in fulfilling His promises to His people, He made a way that seemed impossible to man. But to God, nothing was impossible. Nothing is impossible. And here, as the Lord allowed His people to pass through the Red Sea on dry ground, and as His people had passed over, each and every one of them, their livestock included, and then when He seen the Egyptians seeking to pursue after them, He told Moses to stretch forth His hands again. And then we see the judgment of God coming upon the wicked Egyptians. You know, as we think of this virus which we're facing in these days, and how that the Lord had spoke to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians and even to His own people back in Egypt through many plagues and pestilence. But yet it was only when the Lord had took Pharaoh's son that Pharaoh really got up and listened. That Pharaoh was really awakened to his need to give in to the Lord. Oh yes, he thought that when Moses and Aaron appeared before him and Moses' rod turned into a serpent, and how Pharaoh thought he was smart in getting his own magicians, as it were, to cast their rods down and for them to turn into snakes. And yet we know that it was the serpent of Moses that consumed all those other serpents of Pharaoh's magicians. And yet pestilence and different other things that the Lord had sent upon Egypt, different plagues. But yet it was only when the angel of death stepped in to the land and swept through the land and took Pharaoh's son that Pharaoh really was awakened to his need to obey the Lord's word. And sadly for many in our land, they have lost loved ones in this past year. Whether that's to the virus or some other ill health. And sadly it is only when death enters into a home that people really are awakened to their need of God's salvation. And I trust and pray in these days, dear brethren and sisters, that men and women will be awakened to their need of God. Oh yes, that we hear of these statistics on our news and on our social media every day. And behind those statistics there is a soul, a precious soul that needs to be saved. And where that soul is, I don't know. But how that ought to stir us on, how that ought to galvanize our resolve to keep praying, to keep crying on to God, that he would step in, that he would intervene in our day and generation, as he did so for his own people back at the Red Sea. That God made a way which to man seemed impossible, but with God it was not impossible. For he was the one that spoke this universe into existence, and he was able to send that east wind to part the Red Sea for his people to walk safely across. Can you imagine just if you were there yourself and you had your family with you and perhaps some livestock and your possessions, whatever possessions you had, and you were walking through the midst of this great sea, and on one side of you there was this great wall of water, and on another side there was another great wall of water. Behind you was the Egyptians, but before you was the promised land in sight. What an awesome sight that must have been, to see what a miracle the Lord had done. But yet, the greatest miracle each and any one of us could see today is the salvation of a precious soul. And what a miracle it is when the Lord takes a sinner who was dead and trespasses in sin, like you or me, and calls us out of nature's darkness into the glorious and the marvelous light of the gospel. What a miracle it is to see a life transformed by Christ and the power of the gospel. And what a encouragement and what a miracle it is to see God deliver his people. That God made a way of escape for his people at the Red Sea. And then when the Lord's people had passed safely on to the other side, God's judgment fell upon those who are not saved. The Lord's judgment fell upon the Egyptians. And brethren and sisters, this morning, that is a wonderful picture of how the Lord will carry us. The Lord will take us one day safely to heaven. We won't have to pass Jordan or cross over Jordan alone, the little song says. And our God will be our guide unto death. And he will take us one day to be with him in heaven, because he saved us by his grace, because he's redeemed us unto himself by his precious blood. And God's judgment will fall upon those who are not saved, upon those who are outside Christ, those who have rejected Christ. And before I close my remarks this morning, my friend, if you're in the meeting this morning or you're watching in online and you're not saved, let this be a warning to you that God's people will be saved. God's people will be delivered. And those who are not saved, they will not be delivered. But they will face the wrath and holy justice of Almighty God in hell for all eternity. We've noticed this morning Israel's response, that the people, they feared the Lord. But back in verse 13, Moses said, "Fear not." Now they had a different fear. We see here in verse 31, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." As I began my remarks a few moments ago, I began by showing you how that the Israelites, they feared They feared the Egyptians. They had doubted God. They had questioned God. They had questioned His wisdom and the leading of His servant Moses. And they were afraid. They were petrified. They had a fear which was gripping their heart. But now they had a different type of fear. And that ought to be a fear that each and every one of us ought to have as Christians. A reverential, an awesome fear of God. Because of who He is, because of His mighty majesty, because of His holiness, because of His justice, because of His truth. And yet so many in Christendom today do not have that reverential fear of God. Let it never be said of us, dear Christian, that we do not have a reverential fear of God. Because God is holy. God is just. And God sits upon His throne in heaven, beholding the works of men. You know, as I thought of Moses, and an event in Moses' life which always speaks to me powerfully, when the Lord spoke to Moses at the burning bush, and how the bush burned with fire yet was not consumed. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Take off your sandals, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. What an awesome sight that must have been. As Moses came, as it were, face to face with God through the burning bush, and God spoke to him. What an awesome privilege it was for Moses to come, as it were, within such a close proximity to the Lord. And yet so many do not have that reverential fear and awe of God. Well, brethren and sisters, this morning, let us have that fear. That not slavish fear, but that fear of reverence. That fear of who God is. Of His majesty, of His holiness, of His power. How He's infinite, how He's eternal. And that would be our response, that we would fear the Lord. That we would believe the Lord this morning. That we would not doubt the Lord, not that we would not question the Lord. But that we would trust in Him. We've noticed this morning the encouragement to Israel at the Red Sea. We've noticed the exhortation to Israel at the Red Sea. And praise the Lord, we noticed last year the escape for Israel at the Red Sea. Let me read to you again verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. O brethren and sisters, this morning, may each and every one of us go forward with the Lord today, and in the days and weeks that lie ahead. Amen.